Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Really happy. I noticed the Union Jacks behind me, and I know my last guest will be like a vampire in the sunlight to that, because he's not a unionist at all. So he'll enjoy that, I'm sure. Welcome. I'm so glad to see everybody in the chat again. Everybody's here. Let's get involved in a show today. I've had a great birthday yesterday. All of the lovely birthday wishes, I thank you for. And I'm looking forward to today. So, it is hard to avoid. There's a real feeling of revolution in the air. Whether it's outside the trial of Donald Trump, where everybody is screaming USA, USA, or on the grounds of Columbia University, where everybody is just screaming, the people are rising. It's for sure. For many of us, the game has changed significantly. There's been a raising of our consciousness since 2019, at the very least, and people are no longer willing to accept the same old rhetoric that has kept them in chains for half a century or more. And we have been in chains. We have been in lots of proverbial chains. The lexicon of terms which they've used to keep us chained has lost its power. Terms like anti-Semite have been overused and applied to anyone who disagrees with someone who is Jewish. Just basically anybody who is Jewish. If you disagree with them, I don't like that jacket. You're an anti-Semite. It's got to that point. The accusation of being a conspiracy theorist, which had been identified by the CIA as a brilliant way to draw attention away from anyone who has discovered one of their many conspiracies, has become a badge of honor for those who are busy exposing the crimes of those who conspire to maintain their iron grip over our everyday lives. Still, they've been busy reinventing new terminology to use so they can hide their nefarious deeds, such as long COVID, which has become code for people who have been vaccine injured. We were always going to become aware of what they are doing. But many people are still lost in the fake, manipulated plastic world where big pharma and giant corporations are completely in charge, and a mixture of fascism and communism is being labeled stakeholder capitalism, so that those who don't look further than a name fall hook, line, and sinker for their agenda, of course. I've talked to a lot of people about newspeak, of the New World Order. After all, my journalism demands that I study the words those in powers use to trick us into following them. We all remember global warming, and then we all seen them quickly change it to climate change instead. But did you know that the World Economic Forum, the dastardly people who sit up on the mountainside of Davos, like the Bond villains they are, have been suggesting in their own training slides created over a decade ago that they should rebrand it again? Now we hear climate crisis and climate emergency being used regularly in an attempt to evoke special powers, which will be as restrictive as those used during the pandemic we've just experienced. Yes, my friend, these bad actors within our society know how to cast a spell. They use words and phrases to make you act in certain ways. They alter their magic words to make you impulsive, and they'll literally spell you into their web. It's all about the spells. Whether you believe in magic or not, words have always been used to cast a spell over mankind. As a great man once says, same as it ever was, same as it ever was. So thank you for joining me. Again, look, I'm really happy you're all in the chat. I see the wonderful people there. I see Penelope Bitstop's Ghost, Eileen, of course, Wild Heather. Oh, my Lord. These are all the people who, El Cid, Little Carol, everybody's here. Dark Commission, of course. And I'm really glad that people get in the chat, and I want people to stick a question or two there for me, guests as well, and to be interactive, because I love to communicate. I'm a conversationalist by nature. So remember, we're only a week away, literally a week now, a week today. The Weekend True Festival is upon us. Yes, almost upon us. If you would like to see all of your favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up. The Weekend True Festival will feature speakers such as Katie Hopkins, Kate Shemirani, Dolores Cahill, Matt Letizier, Mark Atwood, David Clues, allegedly Dave Sovereign Pete, and many others, all across the weekends of the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May in Workington near the Lake District in the UK. So starts this Friday coming up. All you need to bring is a tent, a sleeping bag, and some good vibes, as food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will be provided on site. For more information and to find out how to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. But don't hang around, because only a limited number of places are still available. Remember, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT app from either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, so you can easily listen live to us anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I come to you for facts. I really appreciate what you and your team do.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, what a surprise. The U.S. birth rate has dropped to its lowest point in more than 100 years, raising concerns that the nation's economic future is in peril. Here with the story, join me now, is TNT news producer, the anti-Malthusian, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Ruckus, tell us more about this, please.
Sure. So yet again, it would appear that people who just get brushed aside as being crazy conspiracy theorists are probably right about a few things. Let's bring up one who I'm not a big fan of, and I know you're not either, but one, Mr. Elon Musk, who not that long ago, I believe specifically April 15th, 2024, tweeted, X posted, whatever we call it, on his social media platform. He said, quote, "Any nation with a birth rate below replacement will eventually cease to exist," end quote. Well, he might be on to something. The following day, namely April 16th, 2024, he did an interview, which was posted up there, where he, you can hear him saying, explaining, quote, "There are certainly some big risks that humanity faces. Population collapse is a really big deal, but I wish more people would think about," and then he kind of mumbles or whatever, "the birth rate is far below what's needed to sustain civilization at its current level," end quote. Please keep all of that in mind as we are now hearing about this new report from the CDC's, the National Center for Health Statistics, which, yeah, it's not good. It's revealed that women in the United States are having children at the lowest rate since record keeping began. Uh-oh, I think we're going to have a problem here. Only 3.5 million births were recorded in the country in 2023. That is the lowest since the 3.4 million figure, which was recorded 45 years ago, 1979. Was that long ago? Man, okay. The U.S. population was 225 million at the time, compared to almost 335 million now. The general fertility rate fell 3% from the year before to 55.4 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age, defined as women aged 15 to 44. The total fertility rate was just 1.61, down 2%. From 2022, the U.S. birth rate has been below the replacement level of 2.1 since 2007. Unplanned pregnancies, mostly among teenagers, have fallen by 2% from the previous year, representing a 68% decline from 2007 levels. Birth rates for the age group 20 to 24 have dropped by almost 50% since 2007. The only demographic that saw an increase in birth rates was Hispanic women, with a modest 1% gain from 2022. The NCHS, the Centers for Health Statistics, this is a part of the CDC. It relies on birth certificates to provide a snapshot of U.S. population trends, and it does not look at the underlying factors. This is what Brady Hamilton said, who is the lead author of the report. Karen Guzzo, a demographer, like demographics, at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, pointed to research that shows young Americans are delaying family formation for financial reasons. Among the factors Americans have cited for waiting or not having children at all are economic strain, work instability, political polarization, student loans, healthcare cost and accessibility, climate change, and global conflicts. This is what Karen Guzzo told the Wall Street Journal. U.S. birth rates rose slightly right before the 2008 financial crisis, but have declined by 11% overall since 2000. Guzzo has pointed to quote-unquote unstable work hours and lack of paid leave in the quote-unquote gig economy that has arisen since the Great Recession. Demographers such as her have argued that Americans need paid family leave and other benefits to promote the standard of living for young families. Surveys in America have persistently shown frustration with the skyrocketing cost of health care and child care as well. So there's a lot of talk about, you know, what the reason could be. Nobody's bringing up, hey, maybe there are people who are trying to have kids who can't anymore. Maybe that's a thing, right? But why is this a big deal, Johnny? Well, you know, let's look to the future. It doesn't take a genius to agree with economists who say that this is going to stunt economic growth at every level, since fewer young people will be available to apply for college, enter the workforce, and pay taxes in the coming decades. So things are not going to get any better. Oh, well, wait a minute. Maybe there's a solution after all. This kind of makes sense now, how some countries, including here in America, the Biden administration appears to have facilitated the greatest illegal alien invasion this nation has ever seen. Hey, maybe they can replace people, Johnny. What say you, my friend?
Yeah, I know that from doing my research that it's probably, if we go under something like 1.21, we're doomed. It's population crash time. So we are heading there. I mean, the 2.1 mark that you were mentioning, we're down to 1.6 something. That's insane. And when you were talking there, I was giggling away, of course, because I was thinking, how can climate change stop people from actually, like, you know, getting it on? I can't even understand that. Oh, it's too warm today. Oh, it's too cold. It's too windy outside. Honestly, if the weather's getting bad, everyone stays inside and you'd expect more procreation rather than less procreation, wouldn't you? So it's just insane. I think a lot of this has to do with technology, of course, with algorithms, with dating sites, with this new way of meeting people, which is so sterile, where everybody judges people like they do on Facebook timelines or whatnot, where they're scrolling down the screen saying, no, don't want that one. No, don't want that one. No, don't want that one. Where it used to be, people just went out and met, and then you'd click with someone. But you can't click with someone so easily over the internet or online or via dating sites. So I think there's a lot to be said about that. Of course, a lot of this is manipulated. They want a population crash. They're desperate for a population crash. And this has been part of their agenda for a very long time. And we know what the agenda is. It's a mixture of Fabianism mixed with a bit of Malthusian, love of Malthusianism. They're trying to make it so that basically we do not exceed their our own food supply or our own resources in their view, in their vision. But their vision is a lot like, I think, probably I remember this tale of communist shoe production during the Soviet Union, where they suddenly had warehouses full of shoes no one would wear because they based everything on statistics. And statistics looks very nice, but you end up with useless stuff all around. And what they've done is replace that statistics with human statistics. So we become these statistics, which they don't care whether we have children, whether we grow up and be loved, whether we be happy. They're just trying to create a world of division and pain and unhappiness. And of course, a lot of this has to come down to gender ideology as well. Something we're going to discuss with my first guest soon. So I think this is a really good segue in. And I'm not surprised by any of this at all. What do you remember what you said the rate is currently in America for procreation?
Procreation, I like how you put that. It's 2.1? Yeah. Sorry.
That's the stat, that's the what we should be at.
I'm sorry. 1.61. There you go. We didn't want to go below
2.1. 2%.
We're way down. 2% from 2 years ago. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And also, Johnny, real quick to your point about the climate change, I think what they're trying to do there is the idea is that people are too afraid of the future to bother having kids. They're like, why would I bring kids into a world when we're all going to die? That kind of, you know, extinction rebellion line of thinking. So there it is.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing for that mentality to disappear, but I don't think it's a mentality that gets passed down through genetics. That's given to us by the society around us. Well, thanks for that, Ruckus. Join us in the second half for some more news, yeah?
I'll do it. We'll see you then.
Awesome. You're listening to today's news talk on TNT.
TNT's Jason Burmess.
Unfortunately, constantly, I'm talking to these political analysts that don't see any way out of the current situation except vote harder. And then every time that I bring up the fact that we have not only a corrupt system via the mail-in ballots, via the ballot harvesting, but the machines, I get a lot of radio silence. I get sometimes a nod and an agreement with me, but there's never a solution that's presented other than we need to go back to paper ballots and voter ID. Duh. Can anyone tell me how we get there? Can anybody tell me how we get there?
Jason Burmess on today's News Talk, TNT. TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission. The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Redmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. My next guest is in my top 10 of intriguing characters I've met since the start of 2024. He is kind and thoughtful, insightful and deep, and he is also a true gentleman, which I like. Dr. Heave is an intriguing personality behind Therapy Bites. He's a psychology expert who offers bite-sized therapy for your brain through his YouTube channel on X Spaces. He delves through various aspects of mental health, psychotherapy, and psychology. His content aims to inform, challenge assumptions, and promote understanding in the realm of mental health. You can follow him on X at therapy_bites and find more links at the linktree.ee or linktree.ee/therapybites. Dr. Heath, welcome back to the Johnny Bedmore Show. I'm so blessed to have access to a mind like yours. So let's make most of the time we've got today. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to see you. Thank you for the invite. I always appreciate it.
Oh, I love talking with you, and you always cheer me up. So Friday, that's good. Perk me up for the weekend. So I'm a male, if you hadn't. At least that's what I've been telling people for the past 44 years. But being a man is a little difficult nowadays because the very idea of masculine has been dressed up as a toxic ideal. Can you make me feel prouder about being a man?
Well, I'll do my best. For one thing, guys that listen to the show, I would say be very careful to understand that that wouldn't be a feeling at all. That would be a thought process. And so that gets down to one of my favorite things, which is existential philosophy. And that is finding meaning in the envelope of our existence. So, you know, Johnny, to answer your question, I think one of the reasons for that is as our world in many ways tends to do better. And even with the wars and rumors of wars, there are many places on the planet, such as, you know, developed countries, that we are safer. Now, that's not worldwide, but many places in many ways, the world is getting better. I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. I have a positivity mindset, not a negativity mindset. But here's a problem with that. The human brain is engineered to have a negativity bias. And so as life in some ways tends to get easier, we have to find something to pick on. Our brains will segue to the next biggest threat. If war's not the problem, then it's food's the problem. If food's not the problem, it's housing that's the problem. If housing's not the problem, then it's anxiety is the problem or depression is the problem. If that's not the problem, then my neighbor's the problem or my spouse is the problem or the opposite sex is the problem or a different belief system is the problem. And so therefore we have people thinking that masculinity must be the problem. And I think that you can thank males for some of that, but that's to miss a lot. Of course, there are some unattractive, unhealthy behaviors with males. But to say that the presence of those behaviors that are not very tasty describes a whole set of people. Well, my goodness, you're talking about, what, 4 billion people on the planet that are probably male? And so masculinity or gender's not the problem. It's the behavior of a certain set of those people. And so to think it describes a whole category of people, like my dad would say, would be to throw out the proverbial baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, that's an awesome way to describe it. And yeah, we have 3.5 to 4 million men on the planet. I think we've got a real dog in this fight, that's for sure. Can you give us give me some idea of the benefits of embracing one's own masculinity?
Well, that's a great question. I would like to point out, and this is one of my things to do on social media, is to comfort the afflicted, but maybe to afflict the comfortable. And so there's three movements that I think are a problem that get in the way of men being men and being healthy men at that. One is the incel movement. Now, that stands for involuntary celibates, and that's a culture, you know, composed of males that define themselves as unable to find romantic or sexual partners, and they attribute that to, you know, it's kind of a victim mentality. You know, people in the incel movement, instead of taking personal responsibility, they see themselves as victims of some societal system that favors more attractive men, more athletic men, men that have lower body fat. You know, the people on the cover of GQ, I don't think I will ever be on the cover of GQ magazine, nor would I want to be. And so it's really men who believe that they suffer by comparison. And then there's an entitlement. There's an entitlement mindset, and lots of men have this, that they believe that they are entitled to romantic relationships and sex. I have been in my relationship with my lovely wife for over 40 years, and I never believe that I'm entitled to sex. And I think that that's one of the main things is thinking as a man that because I'm a man, I should get my way. And guys, listen to this. In life, in a relationship, you can have one or two things, but often not both. You can have your relationship or you can get your way, but you can't have both. You have to pick. And so a large problem with masculinity are men and their masculinity. And I think as men, we should stop blaming it and thinking that we're victims of some, you know, conspiracy against men or something like that, and just find meaning in the circle of existence in which we stand. And so that's the incel movement. Then there's the PUA movement, pickup artist movement. And this is a movement that tries to teach men that there's these super secret techniques that you need to fool women and hogwash women and trick them and things like that, and their specific behaviors. And that's not okay. Look, the trick is being a healthy man. The trick is being a healthy human. Now, there is an aspect of that movement which focuses on self-improvement. I'm all about that. But then the third thing that I'm not in favor of is this, in particular, the pickup artist movement thinks that success with women or success in life is measured by how many sexual encounters that you can have. I once had a young man that said, "Doc, you know, I had sex with 16 women this weekend," to which I said, "Wow, your mother must be so proud of you. Did you put that in a Hallmark card to her?" And so there's lots of misunderstandings about masculinity. Sexual proclivity has nothing to do with masculinity. I would invite people that believe that, men that believe that, to rethink that when you get to be in your 50s and 60s and you're having a bit of prostate trouble and you can't get the little fella up like you used to see if you would let that define you as a man. And then the last one is MGTOW, men going their own way. And this is really kind of a sovereignty thing where people believe that they can just set women aside and there's no need for women in their life, and women kind of, you know, mess things up or screw things up and exploit men. And again, it's kind of back to the victim mentality. So I know that's a long answer to your question, but I would say that the biggest difference men can make is focusing on their own existence in the life and finding meaning in that. And life comes to us empty, and it's up to us to put meaning into that. Meaning is not out there to be chased down. Meaning is right there with what you decide for it to be in your life as a man.
You're a beautiful guy. I love the way you talk about these things. Listen, we're going to go for a quick 30-second news break. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
What do they want?
Exciting news.
Brace yourself.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The House Judiciary Committee released a report accusing Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg of engaging in a politically motivated prosecution against former President Donald Trump in relation to the hush money case. The U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments on whether former President Donald Trump enjoys immunity from prosecution for actions taken during his presidency. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova criticized former U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi for linking pro-Palestinian protests in the U.S. to alleged Russian influence.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on Today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on Today's News Talk, TNT. Now I'm going to flip to the enemy of man, women. I don't mean that, of course, because most of the people in the chat are women who will tell me off. And I have two older sisters, so, you know, I know how to be respectful to women, because otherwise I'd get the firm hand, a part of their hand. What type of barriers do you think prevent women from achieving supposed equality in this topsy-turvy world, Dr. Heath?
Well, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, Johnny, and we all have a negativity bias. We'll look for threats first. And so I really appreciated what Sir Patrick Stewart said in a wonderful video that I recommend your listeners, your viewers look up. And it's actually talking about PTSD and domestic violence. And he grew up in a home where his father was violent toward his mother. And he would say, and I still hear it today, my mother did nothing. That there is no behavior that ever requires demands or is okay to respond to with abuse or, you know, physical violence. And so Patrick Stewart, at the end of it, he said that the people most able to improve the lives of women are men. And I had to think about that for a long time, but I take that very responsibly in my relationship, is that I am built to sacrifice for my wife. That is my purpose. My purpose is to put her needs first. And I'm a believer. And one of my favorite scriptures is he that is first will be last, and he that is last to be first. So if you want to be first in life, then put yourself last. If you want to stick out, put yourself last. We have a world full of people struggling and fighting over the crumbs from the table of life. And it brings to my mind a quote by Viktor Frankl that said, we all remember those in the camps. Viktor Frankl was in a concentration camp, a Nazi concentration camp, that wander the camps and work to feed others. And in our relationship, the healthiest thing a man can be as fuel for his wife. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. That doesn't mean that things shouldn't be a bit equal. But if you're always waving your flag on getting your way, you'll never have a healthy relationship. And so men will look at the women in their life as threats to them. But then women can develop a negativity bias and look at men as threats to them. And it is my job to show I am not a threat. And for men listening in your audience, we have to give space for that to happen. One thing we can do, by the way, is last night I did this. I was on my phone. I was doing something on X, and I disciplined myself to do this. My wife walked into the kitchen. I'm sitting at the bar. I had the urge to continue what I was doing on this little device, but I set it down to create space for her to share with me what she had to say. Now, the other thing to answer your question is, it's a bit of an over-assimilation problem. Thinking that every man is the same. Thinking that if you're a large guy that works out, or you're just a man in general, that you're a threat to me. And that is not a problem with the man in front of you. That is a problem of, as a woman, your own thinking about the man in front of you, if that makes sense. And you can go through watching TV. There's a thing called the availability heuristic. And so if you're a woman and you expose yourself to all of this negativity bias about men, you will come to believe that that is the only type of man that exists. And that's just not the case.
That's really interesting, especially that someone over in the chat, Penelope Bitstotsko, said, where are all those men that put women first? I want one. Maybe there's a bit of that. I met her in person, though. She's a very nice lady. What advice have you found that benefits, or can you give that benefits the female of the species most and helps the ladies take control over their own lives?
Well, you know, that's a wonderful question. And this is where the differences between men and women really come to the fore. Men are really driven by confirmation and significance. Now, this is not being egotistical. Men are engineered to be fueled by confirmation and significance. Women are engineered to be fueled by safety and security. And so there's a bit of, for lack of a better term, molding or shaping or even training each other. I've had women sit in my chair, which is right there. This is my office, and say, well, I shouldn't have to tell him. Oh, really? You shouldn't have to tell him how to treat you. You shouldn't have to train him on the job. Now, let's think about that. The last job you had, did you show up and your supervisor said, look, we have no employee handbook. We have no training. This is the nuclear reactor. Get to work. Good luck, you know. And so I would recommend that we open ourselves up to teaching each other. But understand this, if you're a woman or even a man, understand this. Very few, if any, people will ever thank you for calling their hand on something. And so one of the biggest things women have to do is to accept a little bit of pushback, you know, accept that he's probably not going to say, oh, thank you for telling me I'm being a butthead. Thank you for telling me I need to pick up my clothes and lower the toilet seat and things like that. So the purpose of doing it is because it is good for the relationship. Not the the success does not mean that they say, oh, thank you for doing that. Success is that we have to teach each other how to scratch our back. So if you ask me to scratch your back, you're going to have to say a little up, a little left, a little to the right. Ah, yes, that's the spot. And so let's put some shoe leather on that. If it's time for the birthday, then just go ahead and say, hey, I expect something for my birthday. I expect something for Mother's Day. Hey, knucklehead, have you got me that Valentine's Day card yet? And oh, and I know that sounds crazy, but over time, we can shape each other to be a better fit. One more thing, Plato viewed men and women as two parts of the same jigsaw puzzle of life. He said that the gods punished humanity by splitting us in half. We used to have four arms and four legs. The gods split us in half. We have two arms, two legs, and life and relationships are about finding another and connecting and becoming whole. And so that's what a relationship is meant to be. And you can't do that by yourself. Yes, it is healthy. You'll live longer being in a healthy relationship.
Dr. Heap, we're out of time today, but that is brilliant. I hope you come back on again and again so that we can have more advice from you. You're obviously a wealth of knowledge, and I love you. I'm just going to say that out loud. I love you.
So, I love you too, brother. I appreciate it. We're all in awesome. This together.
Yeah, we are. We are. We're all in a big boat, and it's a pretty, pretty boat too. So I'll see you again soon. Thanks for coming on. Awesome. Right, so we'll be right back after these messages on today's News Talk on TNT.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was going to make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like LaToya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
LaToya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is no normal.
Talk that matters. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. I tell you what, I just got filled up by Dr. Heath, just full of love. He just made me feel happy about being a man and happy that women exist. So that's a really good thing. I'm speaking to my next guest for the first time, and I'm looking forward to it for sure. Destiny Resendez is a deep researcher and investigative journalist, and that is very much true if you go look at her work, with a keen eye for detail and a passion for uncovering the truth, a lot like me. She's also a US patriot, devoted lover of God, and talented artist. I like that. You can find her on X at Desi_Rezie. That's DEZZIE _REZZIE. Destiny, I've been looking forward to talking to you since I think it was the amazing Lindsay House connected us. You're clearly doing a fantastic job of covering the US side of the COVID tyranny. While I've been concentrating on the UK linked actors such as Neil Ferguson, Jeremy Farrar, Richard Sykes, etc., why did you start doing this kind of research, and what initially triggered you to embark on this sort of deep, 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 in-depth research?
Oh, goodness. Well, when COVID started, here, I live in Virginia, which is very close to North, right on the border of North Carolina, and I'm within a day's drive of UNC Chapel Hill, where Ralph Barrick works and all the gain-of-function research started. And so people in my neighborhood are very familiar with that whole problem, because locally it caused issues back in 2014 when they started the gain-of-function. People here were very concerned. And because it was local, I guess it just kind of ticked a little more for me to look into it. And March 27th, 2020, I had posted the original 2015 paper by Declan Butler titled Risky Bat Research. This is a paper that started it all. And I posted it on Facebook. All I did was post it on Facebook. And I said, hey, guys, I think you should read this. I think this new virus may have been made in a lab. And that's all I said. And I got completely blocked and banned off of Facebook. And that was my first taste of censorship. So I was like, that's odd. I need to figure out why they just did that to me. And so, And then I never stopped.
I can see that you've never stopped. I mean, it's brilliant. People like me who do deep research, when I find people like you who also do deep research, I get very happy, because I don't think there's enough of it happening. And of course, a lot of journalists nowadays tend to be citizen journalists. So was it COVID that opened your eyes and woke you up, or were there other previous catalysts that made you realize that the world isn't quite what it's being fed to us as?
Well, my mother was always raising me with the mindset of don't trust somebody just because they're an authority. So I kind of always had that, you know, questioning spirit. And I'm also an unvaccinated American. Like, I've never had a vaccine for anything before. And so that issue on its own is just very interesting to me, because I'm 32. I'm very healthy. I haven't been to the hospital in, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years, something like that. And because I just don't get sick very often. And so this idea that people needed to be taking these vaccines to be healthy, I immediately was just erring on the side of caution with that. And but I guess I've always been curious, and I've always been skeptical of a lot of things.
I find that very interesting, because my mum was exactly the same. My mum, I was the only person in my school who didn't get the MMR jab, or in my year in school, who didn't get the 3-in-1 vaccination.
Because
my mum was up in arms about it. Yeah, she was happy to take the vaccine once it came around this time. It made no... I know, but, you know, people get older and lose their fight, I think. And I think my mum...
Yeah, my father did the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of sad to see that, but I was instilled with that idea that I don't have to go with the crowd through, you know, events like that. So I feel you on that. Now, through your extensive research, and I keep saying extensive, in-depth research, because you do a lot. I really like your Twitter thread. Sorry, I got a bit of a lisp. Who have you identified as the major players who have been responsible for manufacturing the COVID pandemic?
It's probably not going to be your typical answer, although I do know one doctor that would side with me on this, and Dr. Robert Malone probably agree with me. The intelligence community of the United States is largely behind most of the pandemic. Yeah. And DARPA, which you could consider it as an intelligence. It's a defense agency, but they work alongside the CIA and the CIA's offshoot called NQTEL, which is a non-government organization that does venture capital and technology farming for the CIA and the rest of the intelligence community, and the ODNI, Office of the Deputy Director of National Intelligence. So they're largely behind. It's alarming, but it's largely true. Like, they're behind a lot of it, more than they should.
Yeah, that's amazing for you to say, because normally I get these long lists of the usual answers if I ask a question like that. But I know that the fact is that nearly all of this, from my research, is deep intelligence. They know the direction of the future and they want to be in control of it. Same in Britain as well. I think there's lots of intelligence ties. And it's really good that you can recognize that, because a lot of people just don't see that. And so thanks for saying it out loud. It makes people like myself feel less mad, and we're pulling out our hair while we're trying to tell people, no, you want to watch these intelligence agencies, and they say, oh, you're just,
it feels crazy, right?
Yeah, crazy.
When you start saying it's a CIA, everyone's like, okay, put on your tinfoil hat now. And I was like, well, is it that crazy, or have you like looked into it? Because it's pretty obvious once you start poking around.
Yeah, I was talking about it in the monologue, is about this idea of conspiracy theory being like created by the CIA to stop people from questioning the conspiracies they're creating. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious. We people like us, once we've seen it, we can't close our eyes to it. And then we repeat it and people say, but that's your answer for everything. Well, I investigate intelligence agencies, so usually that's what I'm looking for. And that's usually what I'm looking in anyway. So what are some of the most important discoveries that you've made during your deep research of the pandemic and its genesis, its origins?
The most alarming for me was finding out that Moderna is not a legitimate company. It's really not. It pretends to be. It has the hallmarks of what you would consider a real pharmaceutical company. You know, they have a board of directors. It has a fancy website. They sell stocks. It seems very legitimate. And it has a fairly legitimate background. The people invested into it are real people. But when you look further into how the money started trickling into that company, and it just came in these absolutely insane packages of money, like $800 million here, like the first couple of years. And nobody's investing $800 million into a company that's never put out a product. When you start like wondering, like who's doing this, you know, and then you start seeing, okay, well, this isn't a legitimate company. This is a shell company, essentially, that has probably started off with the best intentions of being a real company. But somewhere along the way, as it does tend to be the case with most shell companies, intelligence comes in that has an agenda of which you are a good pawn to utilize in their game. And I honestly think there's probably a lot of the people in the company that are completely unaware of them being utilized by the intelligence agency. But the fact that Moderna didn't make their own vaccine was my biggest red flag. It was my first viral thread when I tried to show everybody who was making their vaccines. And there's only two companies, Lonza AG, which is a Switzerland company. This goes back, I think, to 1879 or something. It's very old, well-established. Company in Switzerland, and the other one was called Resilience. Now, Resilience is 100% an intelligence operation. I cannot be convinced otherwise. There's too much evidence to support. I mean, the head of it is a man named Chris Darby, who's former president of NQTEL just as of last year. And it was inspired by VP of NQTEL, Luciana Borrillo, who is Council of Foreign Relations, who's best friends with the current president of Resilience, Robert Nelson, who's CIA as well. You have just Drew Auding. He actually puts together the CIA Memorial Fund every year. He's on the board. There's at least three or four people on there directly linked to the intelligence community. The funding was ridiculous. They changed the name about three or four different times on paper, which is not something you would do when you're trying to, you know, show yourself as a company that's solid. You're not going to do all these changes real fast in the midst of the largest medical endeavor in history. You're not going to do that unless you're trying to cover up history. And the history that they were trying to cover up was the fact that Resilience, who made from 2021 onward Moderna's COVID-19 vaccines, that company, Resilience, they marketed it as new. And it was not, maybe the name was new, but they had just acquired and acquired and acquired from previous companies, originally starting off with Nanospore and then Nano Therapeutics, and then it went to Ology Bioservices, then it went to Therapure Biopharmaceuticals, and then it became Resilience. And they said, oh, look at this new startup. No, it's not a new startup. All those previous companies are actually DoD contractors that make biological weapon countermeasures. And it has for the past 15, 20 years.
Yeah, completely unbelievable. I do want to mention Lindsay House is in the chat. She says, hey guys, Nurse Lindsay House here. I'm so glad to see my twin Destiny is on today. Yay!
Oh, I love her to death. She's my favorite.
Yeah, of course. Of course she is. She's a fantastic energy, fantastic person. I mean, I'm delighted to meet people like you because, I mean, for the start of COVID, we obviously all felt a little mad because we were being banned and shadow banned and hidden from each other so that we couldn't organize and we couldn't organize our research properly and we couldn't talk like this. And what you've just said there, I mean, I've investigated the British side and it's the same sort of thing, you know, Resilience. Moderna's role there could probably be seen as GlaxoSmithKline's role over here and how they got involved. The way that they use intelligence over here seems to be via the Royal Society, which is a really shady organization that cleverly hides behind the royal banner, which of course is a very Rhodesian sort of Cecil Rhodes style way of hiding behind things. So, well, do you think we'll see the people most responsible for creating the global tyranny begin to duck out the limelight and start to retire now? Do you think that's going to be the next stage?
I think we're already seeing that. I think that in droves, at least in the United States, most of the high officials, like the non-elected officials, like Fauci, Robert Redfield, Francis Collins, they're all either stepping down or have stepped down or about to step down. It was Rochelle Walensky, the former CDC director, she's gone. There's a lot that already jumped ship. Nicole Lurie jumped ship from the FDA. And you're going to see that happen. But the people that are behind all of it, not the officials that we're going to see, they're not stepping down. They're stepping up because they're getting their payday. They're excited. They're very certain that no one knows that they're the problem. So they're more than willing to let the middlemen kind of take the out right now. And I think we'll continue to see that.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that the same. And the reshuffling, you know, they all like to reshuffle their packs. So Jeremy Farrar leaves the Wellcome Trust, takes up his position in the World Health Organization. And when you follow a lot of the guys on the British side, when they were involved in the foot and mouth disease crisis, they also, over the next 10 years, got rewarded by being shuffled around into big organizations, of course. So off that subject, we got about a minute and a half left. It's election year. Do you see them being able, because I take it you're on Trump's side here. You want to see Trump in office, do you?
I would prefer Trump. I think I'd prefer anybody over Biden.
to be honest,
I would prefer almost anybody except for Kamala, regardless of that.
Do you see them stopping Trump running for president with all of their lawfare at the moment?
I still, for some reason, have faith in my judicial system, for some reason. And I do have a lot of faith in it, even though it's failed so many times. I'm hoping and praying it comes through because this is, you know, it's wrong to be putting people on trial that are trying to run for president. It's against campaign policy. It's against ethics. It's against the law. And hopefully it won't stick. I have a feeling it won't. I feel like if anything, this is just the left's kind of last ditch attempt at keeping Trump out. But honestly, I think he'll be fine. I think he's going to be able to run. I think it'll work out.
And what do you plan on doing next? Are you going to just keep in with this deep research? Have you got any other plans for the near future?
I definitely plan on bringing these guys down.
Awesome. So
whether or not it's going to take 10 years, 100 years, I'm not going anywhere. So they're gonna, you know, there's people like Lindsay. Like, you know, I have friends with the vaccine injured, even though I'm not vaccine injured. I love them. They're my friends. I've grown very close with all of them. We recently lost one, and you know, it's very difficult. And I cannot be the kind of person to just sit by and let, as we've watched, these people just get away with everything. If anything, somebody's at least got to get loud about it. So that's what I'm here to do.
Awesome. Destiny, thank you so much for coming on. I hope you come on again, because I'm sure we'll have loads more to speak about in the near future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Right, don't go anywhere. Why is anybody going anywhere? Don't you dare go anywhere. Why not go to tntradio.live and get in the chat along with other people who are there right now, who are all bundling about, saying their bits, saying how wonderful Destiny is. Stay tuned for the second half of the Johnny Bedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT.